Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is, as always, our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, you know, I've been saying that for 52 episodes.
Now. I know, 52. Well, sheesh, a year we've been doing this.
What's going on, Brian?
Not much, sir. As always, as I always answer.
You know, yes, I think short of 1 or 2 weeks, we have done this show pretty consistently for 52 weeks.
Yeah.
We are the new 52.
Actually, we haven't missed a week, honestly.
We haven't. I wasn't sure if around the holidays we missed one, maybe.
No, we changed days. Our recording days, but we haven't missed 1 week.
Right? I wasn't sure.
We've been solid for a year now.
Wow, man. So I figured we'll keep it short, but I will talk about one of the, you know, or a couple of the our top moments for the last year.
Yikes.
So I'll start it off, since I just threw that at you. And a couple, I think I have three big moments. One was talking to Mark Guggenheim from Arrow.
Definitely. That's definitely one of mine, too.
Not that we are, like, professionals or anything, but we were green back then.
I know.
Really green. We were only doing it for a couple of weeks, and we're fucking talking to Mark Guggenheim. So that was really cool. And I think the other two moments are seeing the screener for Flash and the screener for Daredevil.
Got to agree with you there.
Not that we, you know, we saw them do your hard work through the show, and it wasn't like we watched them together or anything, but we, you know, we talked it out, and we saw The Flash, and we, you know, we both had our, and just that, we saw it before it hit. We saw it a couple months before it hit, right?
Yeah.
And then it hit, and then it turned into, it ended up being this big show, and of course, everybody knew about Daredevil.
Yeah.
Everybody pretty much knew Daredevil was going to be awesome, and it was.
Yeah. But we got, again, another thing we got to watch in advance and talk about, which is really cool.
Yeah, which is definitely was really cool. And again, thanks to your hard work, because you're the one who plugs away getting these things.
Having Jim Fletcher on from DC Collectibles was great, too.
Yes, that was another one.
He was so much fun. I couldn't stop laughing when he was.
Yeah. And it's another one you worked on a good long time to get the show.
And then, you know, talking about when we talked about Toy Fair, because we're there together and just everything we could riff upon. And
yeah,
this has been some good times, man.
Good stuff, man. 52, huh?
Here's to another year.
Yep, here's to another year.
And with that, let's jump right into the carnage.
So what do you want to start with? You want to start about what we were talking about before we even started?
Might as well.
Okay. We even go back and forth about Convergence, DC's Convergence, now that it's wrapped up.
Yeah.
And Marvel's Secret Wars and who's reading what. And for a comic show, we don't talk too much about comics. Once in a while we do, but.
I'm going to go on record and just say I stopped buying DC and, you know, keeping up with weeklies just because I've. Part of it is a lack of money. Part of it is just, I just got fed up. I really have. And, you know, everything's on the internet. So if I want to get caught up real fast, I'll look it up.
But so you did read Convergence.
No.
I thought you were, I thought you did read it.
No, I have a wrap up I just read.
Okay. Yeah. And speaking of which, and a topic that we'll cover in a little bit, speaking of the price of books, ads DC Comics is going to be running soon. I think this week, actually.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So you asked me what I thought of Convergence, and I, on one hand, I'm really, really excited about how it ended.
Okay.
I'm very happy that it seems like that they've opened up the multiverse, where Crisis on Infinite Earths back in the 80s destroyed the multiverse, and it seems like since then, DC has been trying to, I don't know, clean up the mess, or they just go back and forth.
See, the problem was, is just, they cleaned it up, and there were a couple, there were like, Yeah, there were like three anomalies. Actually, only two anomalies, really. It was Power Girl.
Yeah.
And Wonder Girl.
Yes.
Donna Troy.
What about Flash?
No, he really wasn't an anomaly. I mean, he was a legacy character and everything else, but in terms of, like, their history, those two characters' histories were linked, you know. Wonder Woman was wiped out and then retconned.
Yeah.
Within, you know, as bad as it screwed up history, it was an awesome run that George Perez did.
Yeah.
But it screwed up everything for Donna Troy, which never got right. Yeah. And then, of course, they wiped out Earth 2 completely, which means Earth 2 Superman got wiped out, which that left Power Girl in limbo. Yeah. So those were the only two really big characters that were kind of affected.
Okay.
They really never cleaned up correctly. They never did a great job really cleaning those two histories up.
But I guess...
But then again, it's just then all of a sudden they started doing other retcons. Like, then they came out with Man of Steel. So next thing you know, it's just like, you know, with John Byrne, is again an incredible run, but it pretty much wiped out all the history.
Right.
After Crisis, all Superman's the Silver Age history was still intact.
Yeah.
And then they did that, and they did the same to Hawkman too.
Yeah.
Where it became everything was Tim Truman's Hawk World, that screwed up everything there. So it's just, you do this entire change, and then you go from have a couple retcon books that just really screwed up everything more, and it really never fixed itself correctly.
Well, right, and the thing with Superman, Man of Steel, is that it... Really, I mean, that was a full reboot of the character. That wasn't
right.
just pieces here or we're going to drop pieces there. That was a full reboot of the character. And the thing with Crisis was that they had so much history, they have even more now. And everything was so convoluted that they just brought it down to one single universe.
Which was kind of... Like I said, it had pros and cons. I mean, I did like the legacy aspect was now just on one Earth.
Right.
Where it was just like each hero, the Golden Age, you pass it on to the Silver Age, you pass it on to the Modern Age.
Right. But the problem is, along the way, they reintroduce stuff that kind of forced them to open up the multiverse.
Right.
Kind of the multiverse. Or not that they were doing it half-assed, it's just... Again, they have so much history that, and people they want these things included. Long story short, it brings us to Convergence, and it seems as though with the finale of it, that DC has once again brought back the multiverse.
Right.
As they said that, quote unquote, it has evolved, which is a fancy way of saying that. We're keeping everything that we established in the New 52.
Mm-hmm. And Morrison's lovely multiverse. So
everything. Like, whatever it seems... Now, I could be reading into this, that everything is back on the table. Are back on the table.
But now this is opening the door to the dark side anti-monitor war, which is just like... why?
Well, right, and here's something you asked me, and I've been thinking about it. You said that, does this nullify Crisis on Infinite Earths? And my initial reaction was no, because...
Because I thought I read that somewhere. That's the only reason I was confused.
Well, the way I read it was that everything, like I said, is open again, and everything is... I wouldn't say available, depending upon what Earth that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point... Talos, I think at the end of the book, sends Supergirl, Flash, and I think Earth 2 Superman back to Crisis Era, to quote-unquote save them. Now, I don't know if that means Crisis never happened or not. I don't know.
Hmm.
But it's funny that you said that. I kind of started thinking about it. But I think it did still happen.
It's just, it's, you know, like I said, I didn't follow it, so I'm just reading secondhand commentary from the various news sources. So I'm like totally just confused. And then I took a look at that map, and I was just like,
Well, a lot of it feels like the New 52 in the regard that it just seems like it was all thrown together, which I don't know.
Yeah, and now they have, like, Brian Hitch is doing a brand new Justice League series.
Yeah.
And his series isn't linking up to what the New 52 series is.
I don't know the status of the New 52. I think that it does exist, but it doesn't exist as it has. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think there is a world that there is an Earth that's New 52 out there. But what, I guess we're going to have to wait and see. I don't think there's any continuities. What I'm trying to say is I don't think there's going to be Superman 1 through 800 anymore.
Right.
That is the impression that I'm getting. Like, they'll do story arcs, and whether a story arc is, you know, 6 issues long or a story arc is going to be 4 years long, that is the impression that I'm getting that what they're going to do. But, you know, I could be totally wrong. But we also mentioned Secret Wars. And we're only a couple issues into the Secret Wars series, and now all the offshoots are coming out. I think Secret Wars is much better written than Convergence is. But I don't know where that's going. Where in Convergence, I wasn't really crazy how it was written, but I like the end result of it.
Right.
I don't know where this is going, and I'm not real sure about the end result.
I mean, from what I understand, they started off by killing off 616 and Ultimate Universe.
And Ultimate Universe, right. So now it's like Doom, which is, I know is going to annoy the shit out of you, Doom God, and every, you know, these battle worlds exist. And I think the wrong terminology for this patchwork thing they got going on. It's not battle world. It's not like battle worlds where, like they did in DC, where all these worlds are battling each other. They're like different continuities.
But that's what they originally called. You know, a lot of the Secret Wars is taken from the original Secret Wars.
Okay.
Where this seems like it's a Doom from another dimension, where he in the episode 8 or no. Was it 12 issues? Episode 10.
Yeah.
Doom gained the powers of the Beyonder.
Okay.
Godlike power. So it seems like this Doom is not the 616 Doom.
Okay, so what we might be seeing is something that's related to the original Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Where
this is a Doom from another dimension where he kept the powers of the Beyonder and didn't lose them.
Well, that would make a little bit more sense.
And he's still acting kind of like Beyonder-ish, and they just called it Battle... It was just called Battle World. It was parts of different planets in only the 616 universe, though.
Yeah.
That were brought together, and one was a town, a small town in the Midwest that was dragged into this and just formed a planet. So it looks like Doom is now taking from the Marvel multiverse's different pieces.
Yes.
And putting them all together.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Yeah.
And, but, you know, my major gripe is like, with Disney Marvel's war on Fox, somehow they don't omit Doom.
Yeah, it is. I'm not complaining about it, but it is a weird thing, especially since all these battle worlds are extensions of stories and storylines that already exist.
Right.
Old Man Logan, they did.
But no Fantastic Four world.
But no Fantastic Four yet. Like you said, Doom is God.
And on the other token, they're doing more promotion for a new Deadpool series. Like, there's a new Deadpool series coming out, Deadpool versus Thanos.
Yeah.
And just like, you son of a pricks. Pricks.
That movie's coming out, and I guess maybe people have a good feeling that it's going to make some money.
I called it, didn't I? Told you they wouldn't be that stupid.
Yeah. Well, let's see what they do merchandise-wise.
Yeah.
That still remains to be seen. Like maybe with the Fantastic Four, they knew it was going to, or they have a feeling that it's not going to do well, and why promote it on the off chance that he might get. I guess in a way it makes sense now that I'm talking it out. If it doesn't do good, why promote it? Why help it? And they get the rights back.
Yeah, I mean, but that's not the only things with Marvel films that are going on. It's just a couple, you know, two kind of, one's a little more odd than another. Actress Tilda Swinton is theoretically up for the role of the Ancient One in the Doctor Strange film. And for those who are not familiar, the Ancient One in the comics was an old Asian man.
Okay.
That's
an update.
I don't see a problem with it. I mean, it's funny, the picture they showed initially, you saw that one with her hair white. And she looked more like Clea.
Yeah. Yes.
Strange's wife, but, you know, it's, I wouldn't have an objection to her playing, you know, she's kind of skinny and to begin, you know, she yeah. looks a little anorexic to begin with, so I wouldn't have a problem with a female Ancient One.
Yeah.
I know, it's just like, of course, you know, the idiots, the so-called true to the comic ones are just like, it has to be played by an old Oriental guy. Yeah, way to go.
All right, purist.
And then on the other thing that's kind of related to Doom is, I don't know if there's any truth to this. This is, James Gunn went on and was talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay.
And he says he was ruling out two villains who can't appear in the films. He said the Shi'ar Empire.
Okay.
Which, that makes sense because that's always been linked to the X-Men.
Okay.
And Kang the Conqueror.
Really? Did he say why?
He says Fox has the rights to Kang, which doesn't... Technically, Kang is... This is where it gets weird.
Yeah.
Kang is an Avengers villain. He's always been an Avengers villain.
Okay.
But one of his personalities, Rama Tut, was a Fantastic Four villain, but that was when we found out that they're linked. That was kind of a retcon within itself, so I don't understand how that one works.
Do you think it was one of these things that they say, okay, we want Kang too, somebody had an idea about using Kang, and they're like, okay, just give us the money.
Could be.
You know, I have a feeling that's maybe what it is. At the time, whenever they were negotiating, they were just like, just give us the money.
It's just weird, because it's just like, you think, like I said, you really gotta think of, you really gotta know your history, because it's just like, Kang, you know, it's, we find out after, you know, that Kang and Rama Tut are the same person at one point in the timeline. We also found out that their ancient ancestor is either Dr. Doom or Richards.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just, you really gotta think about it for it to make kind of sense, but at the same time, it's like I said, you say Kang, your first instinct is Avengers villain.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's kind of a weird one.
It is kind of weird.
I don't understand that one.
I don't know. But I think it's one of those things where they were ticking off things that they want to include in Marvel when they were negotiating or whatever. Just said, you take whatever you want. You want Kang? Take him.
I guess it kind of makes, I don't know.
When the hell are we ever going to use Kang in an Avengers movie?
I mean, you look at the Avengers films. I mean, personally, right now, I can't see Kang actually fitting into that universe.
Yeah.
But more is just like, you know, with the Fantastic Four being explorers, maybe. I don't know. It's a weird one. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one.
Well, maybe as this story progresses, as Guardians progresses, we'll hear a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or maybe if Fox has intent when using Kang for something, we'll hear a little bit more.
Yeah, the Disney XD just released a trailer for the animated Guardians of the Galaxy. And God, does it look awful.
Yeah, it does not look that good. I just saw stills from it.
Yeah.
I didn't see any previews yet, but I can't say I was crazy about the art.
No, yeah. Ultimate Spider-Man's been picked up again.
Yeah, I saw that. Sinister Six?
I want people to boycott that show now. I'm not too sure if you caught Drake Bell, the actor who voices Peter Parker, was trying to... It's yesterday, Vanity Fair posted that picture of Richard Jenner.
Yeah.
Or what is her name now?
Caitlyn?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
So Drake Bell posted on Twitter, "Sorry, I'm still going to call him Bruce."
Yeah, what the hell that? What the hell is that all about?
He deleted it. He deleted it after he got, like, you know, pretty much a lot of threats and stuff. This is not the first time, from what I understand. Like, the little punk ass has been kind of controversial in his statements.
You know what? First of all, who cares what he thinks? Who cares? This is what I don't get. I saw it on my Facebook feed, and the first thing I thought was, who cares?
I know.
Who cares what Drake Bell says? And then I thought, when was the last time Drake Bell was relevant? If at any point he was relevant. I mean, he hasn't done that show in years, and it was a Disney show.
Nickelodeon.
Yeah, sorry.
But like I said, he's voicing the Ultimate Spider-Man now, so that's... Besides the fact I hate the show, I think we should just ban it just on what I said.
Yeah,
I see it,
dude.
It's... shut up.
Yeah, just shut up.
God.
That's when you gotta walk away from the internet.
It took me a while to figure out who Drake Bell was. My wife goes, it's like, who's Drake Bell? I go, yeah, he was that rapper who was on Degrassi. Not a clue, man, because that's the only Drake I could think of at the top of my head. And then once, you know, because it was like watching TV or something, and then I looked, I was just like, oh, that ain't Drake Bell. That's Drake Bell.
That's that kid.
That ain't the kid from Degrassi, that's the punk ass. Oh, clueless sometimes, I swear.
Yeah, listen, you don't have kids that age, so it's easy to be clueless. Listen, before we leave the topic, and actually we kind of did, but I still want to talk about it. Mention the DC Comics and the half-page ads.
Oh, God.
Now, I don't get this. I mean, I get it. I don't get the uproar about this. Now, I think Bleeding Cool was the one who really was ahead of this one.
Right.
And what I guess what I don't get about it is, I think Greg Capullo texted something to the effect, or tweeted something like, he was really angry about that he had to do this, that he had to change his stories around to fit the ads.
But this is not a new practice, though.
Well, this is what I don't get. So I don't know if he's angry because he already had his story plotted out, and DC came to him and said, you got to fix it because we're putting ads in, or he's just angry about having the ads in the comics. Regardless, you know, that's Capullo. He's, you know, I don't know, and I really dig his art. But
yeah.
For me, I don't get it. Like, what is the big deal about having ads in comics?
I think the problem is it was a half-page ad.
Okay.
And it broke. Maybe he felt as a visual storyteller, it broke up the way he was telling the story.
Well, and if that's the case, then I understand his anger. Like I said, but if he's got something plotted out already, and they want him to change it, then I get it.
But the other option would be, you know, it's just like but the fact is he was still told it has to be done. This is an old practice. It happened a lot in the Silver Age, the Golden Age. You would have the ads. You'd have half-page ads.
Yeah.
It's not a new thing. And quite honestly, if DC Editorial wanted to, they could have just said, screw it, and broke up the art themselves.
Yeah.
They really could have messed with it on their level.
I don't know how long it's been that the comics, Marvel and DC have not been having the ads in books. But
not as many as they used to.
I remember ads on every page. And even if you don't remember, everybody's looked through a magazine. Everybody's read articles where there's ads on the pages with the article.
Oh, please. Magazines are worse because they work around the ad.
Right. The layout. It's part of the whole thing.
The newspapers are the worst offenders of that. Because your eyes are just darting all over the freaking place.
I don't get people's upsetness about ads. I mean, look, the DC's already saying that the books are going to be going up in price. And who the hell wants to pay $5 for a book? I don't want to pay $5 for a book. I don't want to pay $4.99 for a book.
I really feel that, you know, I would stand by Coppola more if the fact, if editorial went in and changed the art after the fact.
Yeah.
But they told him, it's like, look, this is the way we need the layout.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I know you're used to having 10 panels to work with, but we can only give you 5. Is it perfect? No, but it's, you know, like I said, I feel it beats the alternative.
It's not just him. It's, there's a lot of feed, there's a lot of negative feedback about these ads in the book. And again, listen, I'm not, honestly, I don't even give a shit. I was going to say I'm not crazy about it, but I don't give a shit. To me, I don't want to pay $5 for a book. So if that means I got to put a couple more ads in the books, fucking do it.
Yeah.
Let's all save some money. If DC can lower the price, make a little bit more money, put some better writers on these stories, then fucking do it if that's what it takes. In my mind, I know that it has not been that long since comic books had newspaper print in them and ads on just about every fucking page.
The problem is it's, you know, we got two questions going on right now with this. One that you brought up, I mean, are we going to, since if we're going to get less pages, are we going to be paying for the same cover price? And two, artists are usually, their rates are affected by pages.
Mm-hmm.
So is this going to affect their rate of pay?
Right.
I mean, those are the two big questions. But again, like I said, it really could have been a lot worse than they could have been, you know, they could have went, editorial could have went in and moved shit around.
Yeah.
It's, you know, everything's digital. They could have changed the layout themselves if they really wanted to, but they gave the artists a heads up.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I keep going back to it. What's the big fucking deal? You're still going to get, as a consumer,
mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about as an artist, I'm not talking about as a writer or a producer of comic books. I'm just talking about a consumer, which I am, and you are.
Yeah.
What is the big fucking deal? I mean, we are bombarded with ads when you go on the fucking internet, and they blink, and they pop out at you. At least in the goddamn comic, it's not blinking at you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless it really took something away from it, I just can't see a big deal about it.
I don't see it either, dude.
I don't know. Maybe because I grew up reading old Silver Ages that I'm just used to it, that it doesn't bother me.
Right.
As much, you know, it's, I don't see a big deal, and yeah,
I don't see it either. But whatever. There's another controversy going on.
Oh, Christ.
That I think is a little bit more, got a little bit more heat than half page ads in Disney Comics and DC Comics.
Oh, God, shut up. Not
there's
you.
People, Brian, that are out there that want to protect us.
Not just people. 1 million moms.
And what's it really like? 35 moms?
Something like that.
So the million moms don't like this upcoming project on Fox, Lucifer.
And it's name only. again, didn't I say someone's going to be offended by this name?
Yes.
As of right now, it's, the petition has 11,000 signatures.
Okay.
To cancel this stupid show. I can't stand these Bible-thumping 1 million moms.
So what are they going to do? Are they going to run it? They'll just change the name. Nobody has seen anything about the show, right?
No.
So they're just protesting because the name of the show is Lucifer, and they feel as though it's going to make Satan a lovable character.
But these are the idiots who miss the point of it. It's just...
Anybody, you know, the point of it, Brian, they just don't get the point of it.
No, it's anybody who knows, who's actually read Gaiman.
Yeah.
Lucifer, he's not a devil.
Yeah.
He's a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
That's all he is, and he's tired of being the gatekeeper. He pissed off God. He ended up, you know, his punishment was to keep all the evil stuff in hell.
Yeah.
He got tired of it. He left.
Yeah.
But he wasn't necessarily, he wasn't evil, he wasn't good, you know, he was somewhere in between, but he was pretty much just the warden. It's not the, I mean, from what I saw it doesn't seem like he's after souls and things like that. It's just...
It's not the big red guy with the pitchfork.
No, and you know, Neil Gaiman said this is not the first time he's had problems with the one, you know, concerned mothers of America, you know, it was back in 1991. They were trying to boycott Sandman because it contained a lesbian, because it came lesbian, gay, bi, and trans characters.
This is how he responded to the Million Moms? What he said?
Yeah, he goes, I wonder if they noticed it didn't work last time either. But, you know, that was a comic book, this is television, and... Unfortunately, sometimes TV caves a lot more because these moms aren't going after the network. They go after the advertisers.
Right.
And the advertisers go after the network.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is. It's who yells the loudest. I mean, I think these are the same type of women who got rid of the Breaking Bad action figures.
Yeah. Isn't it the same group?
No, it's not the same group, but again, it's concerned mothers of America, a generalized statement.
Yeah.
But, you know, meanwhile, our friend, Daniel Pickett,
yeah.
He creates a counter one. We have more signatures, and yet they still don't bring it back.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And we had about, you know, at least five times more signatures than they did.
Or on the other hand, not to get too political here, but you got that that Duggar family.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, the son was doing whatever to little kids, but, you know, there's that show that's coming. Forget about saving us from that, from something that's real.
Yeah,
save us from something that we don't know the first thing about, but it's got the word Lucifer in the title.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Fox News is trying to help the Duggar family.
Good for them. Okay. The irony of ironies, it is a Fox show. Lucifer's a Fox show.
God.
Man, they are all over the place.
God, shut up. I don't know, I saw the trailer. I'm looking forward to the show. It looks interesting to me.
Yeah, well, you're right. And you and I, we don't need protecting from the show.
No.
Listen, if your kid needs protecting from the show, which I totally get, then don't let your kid watch it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a way to block these shows on TV, even though if your kid wants to see it, he's gonna see it, or she's gonna see it, whether you want them to or not. They really want to see it. But it is your right as a parent, and God bless you if you want to do some parenting to your own child, then do so. Or if you as a person...
God bless you, God forbid is more like it.
If you as a person don't want to watch the show, then that is your power. But don't infringe on my rights because... You're afraid of a show that's got the word Lucifer in the goddamn title. But, whatever.
It's ridiculous. It'll be interesting to see if Fox caves or not.
Yeah, it should be. It will be interesting. So, Tron 3 got canceled.
Yeah.
And I think there's more to the story than that's out right now.
I don't understand why everybody's shocked. Tron 2 didn't do that well.
Well, from the articles that I read, it seems as though it did well enough internationally to, I don't know, warrant a sequel. I thought I read somewhere it did like $400 quadrillion dollars total.
Yeah, but even, you know, reviews never stop sequels.
Disney said that they pulled the plug on it. First of all, it was never official. And I go by what you say all the time. Until it's official, it's not official. That's not the exact words, but, you know, people, when I say people, websites put these things out there to say it's official, and you're always the first one to say that there's no press release about so-and-so playing this part, or, in this case, Tron 3 actually happening, which is the case. Disney never officially greenlit it.
Well, the problem is, this has been, since Tron Legacy number 2 came out, it's been going on, it's off, it's on, it's off.
4 years.
It's been going back and forth, yeah, like a ping pong game. you know, it's old, and, you know, plus, I don't know where the fuck they would be going. It's just, like, seemed like it had an ending.
Yeah.
Where else can you go?
Well, I think beside that, the reason that Disney put out there that their schedule's full the next few years just sounds like complete and utter bullshit.
Meanwhile, the Hollywood Reporter was saying, because Tomorrowland did horribly.
Yeah.
Is why they're not moving forward with Tron 3.
But I don't understand, even that, I don't understand. Why, how do those two correlate? Tomorrowland is an original movie. Tron right. 3 is a sequel, which everybody loves a sequel.
Yeah. So, you know, Tomorrowland underperformed and was based on an original screenplay.
A Brad Bird screenplay.
A Brad Bird screenplay. And it didn't do well at the box office. I think the problem was the marketing on that one.
On Tomorrowland.
I had no clue what the film was about. Did you?
No, and I think that I agree with you that they definitely played that wrong. They, whatever the big surprise that they is going on with that movie, and I have no idea, they wanted it to be a surprise, and I think they did not give us enough information.
You know, it's just like, where's the, I mean, that's another topic we're going to talk about next, but it's just like, where's the line between too much information and not enough information?
Yeah.
There's a fine line there, and sometimes it seems like lately films are either on one side or the other.
Right.
It's like we're either flooded by too much information and we just get sick of it, or we don't know enough about it, so why should we spend money on the box office when we can just wait to rent it cheaper?
But is that really the case here? Like, we'll talk about Suicide Squad. There has been, I mean, a freaking dearth of pictures about this movie. And it really feels like we have seen too much. But is that really the studio's fault if people are taking pictures and posting them online and then blogs and websites are posting these things ad nauseum? Is that really the studio's doing?
On the other hand, you got to ask yourself, why wasn't the same for Batman versus Superman?
Well, it's a good point. You bring up a really good point. The only thing I can think is,
because nobody does anything on a closed set anymore.
Well, right, and I had this conversation started online somewhere, and I said something to the effect that this is not done on a closed set, and I think if it was, then none of these pictures would be leaked.
Right.
But the ones that we're talking about, at least the ones I think we're talking about, are Batman on top of the Joker mobile, and that's clearly on the street. So then any asshole with a phone, and I don't mean to call, because I would do the same thing, would take pictures of whatever's going on. I mean, we all would do it.
But again, why did we not see anything from Superman versus Batman? I think the studio is involved. I'm sorry. You know,
you think so? Okay.
Call me a conspiracy nut. You're an average consumer.
Yeah.
No knowledge of comics.
Yeah.
But you've heard of Superman and Batman. Because why? The worldwide icons.
Right.
Now, if you've never read comics, have you ever heard of the Suicide Squad?
No.
Exactly.
Listen, I do not doubt you when you say that the studios could be behind it. I mean, because it seems like they would be.
The pictures are too clear. They really are.
Okay. Then at this point, they are. Then it is. If the studios are behind it, then it definitely is way too much.
Yeah.
We have seen way too much of this movie, or whatever part they're working on right now. I'm sure this isn't the whole movie, but I think it's gotten to the point where we didn't have anything to begin with. Now it's a glut, and now people, I think, are to the point where they're sick of it.
Well, this is, they want to show. It's just like, hey, look.
We got Batman on top of the Joker mobile.
Yeah, they're linked. Yeah. We already released, you notice how all this stuff is coming out after, or maybe also filming, but it's just like, key things are being released here. You're not seeing anything else with the Suicide Squad. Where are the Rick Flag pictures? Where are the Captain Boomerang pictures? Where are the Katana pictures? No, it's Joker, Batman.
You got a point. You do have a point.
You know, it seems a little weird to me.
Yeah. No, I didn't think about it like that. You have a point.
You know, why aren't we seeing any of the other characters?
Yeah.
In these so-called leaked pictures.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I don't buy it, you know. Again, more fodder for why, you know, Warner is nervous. I mean, and then, you know, the other news come out of the Warner DC film camp is them casting Chris Pine as Steve Trevor.
You know, I got to tell you something. At first, I'm like, okay, whatever. But you posted somewhere star power, and I'm like, God damn, he's right again. That's why they're doing it.
That's what it is. They either don't have faith in the property or the actress playing the lead. So they're throwing some star power in.
That's pretty funny, man.
And Chris Pine is somewhat, a lot of people do know who he is. If they don't know who he is, they take one look at him and go, hey,
they'll recognize him.
That's the guy who played Captain Kirk.
Right. I think he's at the point in his career. I don't know if he's A-list or not. He probably is. He's been in two Star Trek movies.
At least,
He's been in that reboot of the, John Reacher, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Jack Ryan, but you may not know his, you may not know his name, but you'll know his face.
Yeah. Hey, it's that guy.
Yeah. This is the studio saying we don't have 100% faith in this property. Huh. Again, they keep saying this. And it's just like, it's fucking Wonder Woman. It will sell. You put it out there. It's like, for some reason, I'm sorry, it's, people know who Wonder Woman is. She's a cultural icon right up there with Batman and Superman.
Yep.
People know who Wonder Woman is by look, and you put you slap an image of something that looks like Wonder Woman, people are going to know who she is.
Did you ever see that pilot, that Wonder Woman pilot?
The latest one that was going to be by David E. Kelly?
What's her name, with Mockingbird in it?
Yeah.
Did you ever see it?
I saw bits and pieces of it.
I never saw it. Well, I think the whole pilot's on the internet now. But I wonder if that pilot is what scares the hell out of WB.
They should have gave it to Whedon. A man who's known for strong female characters.
Do you think, speaking of Whedon, do you think he'll ever direct another comic book movie?
I think he wants to direct. He still wants to direct Wonder Woman. He still wants to direct a superhero film.
I'm not saying him. Do you think? Okay. Do you think he'll be offered another comic book movie?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
If he wants to take it or not, I don't think he's blacklisted.
Oh, I'm not saying. I wasn't insinuating that he was blacklisted.
No, I'm just.
I guess because wherever he's at with Marvel, it's not like they're inviting him to that party. And I don't think he's got, maybe, I am saying he's sort of blacklisted. I don't think he's got too much of a...
He didn't want it. He was done. He had enough.
With Marvel?
Yeah.
Oh, right. No, you're right.
It wasn't Marvel. It was him. He was just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, now if you just say that with that stupid Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'd be happy.
You got another season yet?
Oh, God.
What if they turn it around?
Don't care.
We're going to start watching it, because we're going to start talking about it.
When is Warner going to start having faith in things?
I don't know, man. They have, whatever they're doing with the TV shows, man, they have enough faith in those.
What's really interesting is, as we're when this show airs, by the time the show airs, the licensing expo is happening very, very shortly.
Is it this weekend? Or is this coming this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's, a big thing. We've been told, it's funny, because we've been told we're going to be getting merchandising from the Daredevil TV show.
Yeah, I saw that last week you sent that out.
And people saw that, put two and two together, and got five. I posted mm-hmm. that on a Marvel page, like, all right, we're getting Marvel Legends and Diamond Select. I'm like, okay, it doesn't say anything about toys within this article, guys.
Yeah.
It's just talking about, like, the only toy company that was listed was Funko. Go figure. And, we're going to be getting stuff from Cafe Press, some shirts and stuff.
You seem to have your thumb on this licensing thing. Is there, if anything else that's coming up or anything that we can...
I mean, this licensing is a big deal that people just don't understand in our little world. Disney is obviously not promoting anything with, Fantastic Four or X-Men.
Yeah.
I've tried to call, and I can't get a response from them.
What about, WB doing anything for Superman, Batman, or Batman, Superman, whatever the fuck it is?
It is on their agenda of properties that they're putting out there to license.
Yeah.
Same with the CW stuff as well.
Yeah, they definitely need to do a little bit more with that now. I think Flash and certainly Arrow are they're big enough that they got to expand that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's just not enough merch out there.
I don't know about Arrow, to be honest with you.
No? What about Flash?
Definitely I could see more.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the only thing Marvel's really doing besides the movie stuff,
yeah,
is they're doing an entire Secret Wars program. And, of course, Marvel sends me the press release, and being the dick that I am, I'm like, does it include FF and X-Men?
Did you say something?
Of course I said something.
What'd they say?
I got no response. What was the email? Of course they said something.
That's awesome.
You think they'd actually say something?
No, I don't know. Yeah, no, but, you never know.
But it's, it's interesting because I love all these idiots who are, saying it's just like, it's, Fox has the rights. And I'm like, you look at Fox and Fantastic Four and X-Men aren't on their list of stuff.
Because they can't promote it.
No, they legally can't.
That's crazy. That's weird, man. I swear that's got to be so frustrating.
It's just like, but yeah, it's just like for brands for, they're having 22 brands for Warner.
Yeah, okay.
Arrow's on the list, uh-huh. Batman's on the list, which I'm assuming is that stupid Unlimited crap.
Yes.
Batman versus Superman, DC Comics, Gotham, Suicide Squad, Superman... maybe not. Yeah, I forget those. Yeah, like I said before, icons.
Yeah.
And the Flash is on here too. I didn't list all 22 because there's other shows
in there. Right. I got you.
But in our circle, those are the ones that they're going to be promoting at the licensing expo starting on the 9th.
How many days is that run? A week or a couple days?
No, just like 3 days.
Are you going to cover that at all? Are you going to write anything about it?
If I was going, I would.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I cannot, unless someone is willing to pay for a ticket for me.
No, I'm not. I wasn't saying that. If you got any kind of press releases or,
Well, that's where I got the Daredevil thing was a press release.
Yeah.
Because that's their, Disney is doing 17 brands, but they don't break it down as much as Warner does. It's just, they have it this like Disney Animation, Disney Junior, Disney XD, Marvel, Star Wars, Disney Studios. The only two properties that they actually list out is Mickey, Minnie Mouse, and Classics,
mm-hmm.
and Winnie the Pooh.
Really?
Everything else is just kind of lumped in there.
Interesting.
So it's going to be an interesting expo.
Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of relates to all this. With Batman versus Superman coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what the answer is already, but I'll ask you anyway. Who is going to produce the toys for these? Is it just going to be... And you may or may not know the answer. I'm just curious. Is it going to be Mattel?
Honestly, we'll probably find out this weekend.
Yeah,
on the 9th, actually.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely know by the 9th.
If Mattel would do it, I guess they would have the license because they still do that, like you said, that Batman Unlimited or whatever the hell that.
But that wouldn't be the first time that a property's been broken up by several different merchandise, vendors and stuff.
I was curious if DC Collectibles has their hand in any of that.
No, of course DC Collectibles is going to be producing stuff, but whether it's action figures or not, it's the big question.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say, but I'm sure we'll know, you know. If we don't know anything by the licensing expo, maybe by the time, oh my God, what the hell is it called?
Diego?
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
If not, you know,
they got to get some stuff out there already. I mean, we're into June now. This movie comes out in February or March?
I think February.
I mean, if not by San Diego, then when? And that freaking Force Awakens, that's even sooner. But they already said that they're going to release the merchandise in September, so.
I mean, Maddie just put up, Mattel just, you know, on their Maddie page, just put up stuff for San Diego, and it's just, they got nothing in terms of
Disney. I was just saying, let me guess, is it Masters of the Universe?
Mainly, yes. They really don't have squat. Like we talked about last week, about what we saw from what's being offered by DC Collectibles. Warner Consumer Products is getting ready, because I'm looking at their page right now.
Yeah.
As we're talking.
Yeah.
And I checked it out earlier, and it's been updated since earlier today. And they're on the other coast, so they started at noon our time.
Yeah.
And they added a new property category for DC Superhero Girls.
Oh, no kidding.
The one we talked about several weeks ago.
Yeah.
But you click on the link and there's nothing there yet.
Yeah.
But there is like a little banner for property, so they're getting ready for the licensing show.
All right, well, we're coming up to an hour here. Actually, we're over an hour, but I think you still want to cover this last topic. You've been working hard on this guy, so we might as well talk.
Well, let's see. I've even willing to sacrifice my firstborn son.
Yes.
It seems like Kevin Smith, who's been saying left and right he would never want to direct a comic book movie, might be interested in it. In one.
Yeah. Which one?
The Question.
That's interesting.
Did he say
why?
He's not much of an action guy, and if you read either Ditko's original Question series,
yeah,
or if you read Danny O'Neill's Question series,
yeah,
they're heavily dialogue driven.
Okay.
So it just makes sense that, I mean, if you've seen Red State, it's just, it'd be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, he's known for his humor, but it's just, I'm sorry, my favorite. I'm a little biased on this because it's Smith. I love Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
And The Question is my favorite. So it's just.
Dream project. Do you think it would ever happen?
I don't know. Yeah. I can't see. You know, I've been, you know, we've had Guggenheim on here, and he, you know, we've talked several times, and it's just, he would definitely love to have The Question as a guest appearance on. I can't see The Question carrying his own thing. He's one of these kind of cult favorites, which is the biggest irony, because when he appeared on Justice League Unlimited, everybody took notice of him.
Yeah.
And at the same time, in the miniseries, The 52, they end up killing him off. It's just like, doesn't anybody talk to anybody in your friggin' studio?
Probably not.
And of course, I got royally pissed off. I mean, if we had Twitter back then, I probably would have been sending Didio and, you know, Johns and everybody else their death threats, like everybody else. Like,
it's never the answer, Brian.
No. I mean, I've calmed down. I'm like, okay, I got my back issues. I'm okay. Crying at night, holding them.
The Question.
It was just such a groundbreaking series. It's just, what can I tell you? It's just, you know, as much as I would love Kevin Smith to be on it, I think there's other directors who are probably more capable.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. It's cool to think about, that's for sure.
Yeah. I just can't see a Question talking about Star Wars and doing dick jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole different direction. All right, man. So tell me, what do you got going on this week?
Just published a new article.
Yeah.
Yep. It is. I decided to take a look at retcons and just how change is just constant.
Yeah.
In comics.
Yes.
And you know why it's why they happen, and I decided to do it from a very vague and very middle-of-the-road type of stance, because I am not... There's good retcons, there's bad retcons, there's ones that, ones you don't even realize that were retcons, and obviously there are ones that are blatantly obvious. But the only constant, I'm not saying, accept it, or I'm not even saying don't accept it. I'm just saying just accept the fact that change is going to happen.
Yeah.
And, I'm very vague in the article. I don't want to...
You don't name names.
No, I didn't feel it was necessary to point fingers, name names, but I could give examples while being vague. But I felt that if I didn't, then it would have taken away from the article.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I got going on. This week, just got finished with that. Got a couple more ideas kicking around that I gotta see if I can get my butt in gear.
That's cool.
What about yourself?
I don't really have too much. I'm gonna be starting a new news box episode this weekend, so probably by the time we have this episode up, I might have that done.
Yeah, but you just published today that history of Power Girl, which is very good.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was a total LARF. I've been tossing around in my head for a while now about doing, I don't know, not like a history kind of thing.
Right.
But I was thinking about doing a show about a particular character, not Power Girl. And I didn't have anything prepped for today, so I had a couple minutes and I just started writing it down, and then I just go, I just start looking out on the internet to see what's out there. Next thing I know, this thing's done. So, yeah.
I found it very informative. I think, for a very novice reader not familiar with the character, I highly recommend checking it out.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was after, because pretty much everything that I do isn't really for guys like us, because we know it.
Yeah.
You know it. It's for people who are just, either casually involved or not even casually involved. Just see a chick with a big
boob window.
Yes, and wonder, well, what's her story besides the boobs? But yes, thank you, Brian. I appreciate that.
Hey, dude, I liked it.
Thanks, man.
Big fan of the boob window, too.
Yeah, me too, man. Although, they put the S over her chest. It's not so bad.
No.
I don't know if they're going to keep it or not. Whatever. It's a different time.
Yeah, I mean, her costumes changed over the years. I mean, even when they were doing it in the run on All-Star Comics, she had went from the boob window to the scoop neck.
Right.
And that still kind of worked, too. I mean, she also went from, her cape was, at one when she started off, it was just hanging off on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made it attached, a standard cape on, kind of that Roman type of thing where it's just they have the hanging on one side when she first appeared.
Yeah, I like it better that way, actually.
It's different.
Yeah.
But, it was designed by Wally Wood, who also did illustrations for Playboy, and the guy was a bit of a perv, so...
Did he do Red Sonja as well?
No.
He didn't, because...
No.
Especially in those early books, man, she looks a lot like Red Sonja.
Yeah, the artist was definitely influenced by Red Sonja, but it wasn't... wasn't Red, it was, definitely wasn't Wally Wood. It's Barry Windsor Smith in his early era, and okay, he was very influenced by Wood, and yeah, there's another costume, it's just like,
See, that's what I mean, I was going through and there's a bunch of pictures where wow, I don't know who came first, I don't know anything about Red Sonja, but just from pictures as a kid, I'm like, they look a lot. There's definitely somebody's influencing somebody here.
Yeah.
Perv's influencing some other perv.
I remember a issue of Marvel team-up from the 70s.
Yeah.
MJ found Red Sonja's sword because something happened where, like, a 16th century, Grimorian aid or somebody from the Conan universes.
Okay.
One of the wizards came back to modern times. Spider-Man had to fight him because it was a team-up book.
Okay.
MJ found Red Sonja's sword in the museum. She picked it up. The next thing you know, and this is drawn by John freaking Byrne.
I gotta find that.
I was just like,
oh
my god.
I gotta find that. That's
you can't get any fucking hotter than that. It was just like, I can't tell you anything else, but I just remember just seeing, you know, one panel, and then you have the flash of, you know, you have one panel of MJ with the sword, the flash of light, and it's Red Sonja. Oh,
yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, boy.
And with that, you can check me and Brian both out on casterscorner.com, and you can check out our old episodes, all 51 of them, at fanboyfactor.com.
Soon to be 52.
Soon to be 52.
By the time you're listening to this, this will be 52.
52.
We'll be rebooting next week.
That's right. It'll be the super new 52. The really, really new 52.
The really, really new 52.
All right, man.
And don't forget to also check us out on iTunes.
Oh, yes.
Stitcher. Stay in constant contact when we have our new episode, so subscribe.
Subscribe, man. Get your friends to subscribe. I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't know what you're waiting for.
I mean, this is like, this is like perfect listening. You know, you got devices that go everywhere now. Barely anybody reads anymore. Why not?
Why not?
Listen to us. Lie on the beach.
Vacation time.
Yeah.
What are you going to listen to on that drive? Us.
Yeah, definitely us.
All right, man. You have a good week.
You too, sir.
I'll talk to you soon.
Later. Bye.